In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ is in our midst.
He is there, shall be.
The gospel, this gospel of the great supper, the great banquet invitation, comes to us every year on this, the second Sunday before the Nativity of our Lord. It is the Sunday of the Holy Forefathers, remembering the great Old Testament figures who anticipated Christ and prepared the way for the coming of God's anointed. Really, those who are the ancestors of the Virgin Mary, she being the fruit, blessed fruit of the Old Testament. As Jesus says to the Jews, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Then said the Jews unto him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" And Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." And they took up stones to throw at him. The invitation to the great banquet by Christ was first given to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. And what is this invitation? It is an invitation to the heavenly banquet of the kingdom of God. "Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." So said a Pharisee with whom Christ was having supper. And Christ's response is this parable of the great banquet. The invitation goes out, and the first wave of invited guests find all kinds of excuses not to come. Then the Lord of the supper commands his servant to go out into the streets and to invite the poor and the weakest of society, that his house would be filled. The Lord of the Supper, which is indeed our Lord Jesus Christ, is not deterred, is not put off by the indifference and indeed rejection of his invitation. He simply spreads his net wider. If one isn't interested, he'll find another. He forces no one, but he calls out unto the highways and hedges, into the streets and lanes of the city. And none of those first called shall taste of his supper, he said. In the fundamental task of every priest and pastor, it is to encourage people to come to church, to come to church, to come to the service, to come to this service or that, and in general, certainly this parable of the banquet ties into an invitation to all to come to the Christmas services, to be in church for Christmas, to celebrate Christmas, the Lord's birthday, in the house of the Lord. That the manger is here, the place of eating is here. And our response, excuse from this invitation, is that Christmas is for families. Archbishop Dimitri addresses this one in today's bulletin from one of his old nativity letters. Of course, the general broader excuse for not attending church is, why go to church? Why go to church if I have God in my heart? Why go to church if I have God in my heart with me? An article with this very title was written some years ago by a Russian deacon, Deacon Andrei. And he says this, "Nonetheless, it is also important for us to establish why we go to church. To listen to the sermon, but these days you can get that from a radio presenter. To pray, you can pray everywhere and at any time. Furthermore," he says, "this is the very advice of the apostle, pray without ceasing. Then is it to make an offering? These days there are numerous ways to make offerings. You can mail it in. To make a note of the announcements, you can get that from an acquaintance. To put up a candle, you can put up a candle in front of your icons at home. So why do we go to church? Why do we go to church?" He continues, "The biblical offerings of sacrifice were not necessary to God, but for the people. The sacrifices were necessary for the people. People simply must learn to be thankful. People must be instructed that they must deny themselves a portion of their life, of their possessions, of their time." Remembering the teaching on the Sabbath, to give one day to the Lord, to give it over to the person of the Lord. This is not because God needs this portion, again, which is dedicated to him, but because thereby people learn, people are instructed in sacrificial love. sacrificial love. Only a tenth or a hundredth part of religion subsists in what people contribute. The principal part in religion is what God contributes to them. The most important part is not what people do for God's sake. It's what God does for us. But what God does for the sake of the people, the most important part is not what people bring as an offering in church, but that which they take away from the church. Priests often talk with one another about their attendance figures, especially, for instance, after Holy Week and Pascha, or after Christmas, how was your attendance, how were the services, just as a general indicator, in a way, I guess, of the health of a given community. Of course, it is one thing to have people in church. It's another thing to have the church in the people. It's one thing to have people come to church. It's another thing to place the church into the soul of the believers of the body of Christ. And that indeed is the priest's greater task in partnership with God's grace indeed. The elder Thaddeus said, "We are too engrossed in things of this world, and thus we become spiritually impoverished, because one cannot sit on two chairs. One cannot sit on two chairs. One cannot drink both from the cup of the Savior and from the cup of the adversary. We must decide whom we will serve, God or the things of this world." The elder also said, "The Lord wants to make us clean and to give us his divine power and strength." It is always the challenge for Orthodox Christians to be in church when we're in church, to be present and not somewhere else. Many of you heard me probably tell the story of a monk who goes to church for a service, and he sees a strange vision of the brotherhood. He sees some monks' bodies standing in church without heads, and he sees some heads floating around in church without bodies. He thought he should get counsel on that, get a second opinion. So I think he went to the abbot or the igumen and asked what this means, of course, and it was explained to him, floating heads are the brothers who have tasks, who have duties. Perhaps they're preparing the meal, because there's a meal after liturgy in the morning, there's a meal after Vespers in the evening, so they're not able to be physically in church, but their minds are in church, and so those are the ones with the heads floating around. They were elsewhere, but they were mentally in worship. So the others, the bodies without heads, are those who are in church physically, but their minds are somewhere else. Father Schmemann, who loved the liturgy of the church, he loved the church's worship. He says, if there was only ever one service that I could go through without my mind wandering at least once. So this is our challenge. This is the struggle to be in the church, to be concentrated, that the prayers of the church would be our prayers when we're here. Father Hopko speaks of when our mind wanders in church, he says, when the mind wanders, bring it back. And it's a concern as to where it wanders. He says, if it wanders to the seventh heaven, maybe you stay there a while. But otherwise, you bring the mind back to the service. So back to the broader question of why come to church if I have God in my heart. The answer is this invitation of Christ to a banquet, to a supper, a mystical supper. Again, from the Russian deacon, he says, "We come to church so that we might receive something. The church, it's just walls, but it's walls built around the mystery of communion. And the mystery is offered, and to the people of God, a hand is extended with the gifts. If Christ presents us with the cup of communion through the royal doors, does it behoove us to turn up our noses and affirm that I don't need that, I have God in my heart? Christ waits for us and has said what he desires to give us." In the famous words from the sixth chapter of John, which is worth going home and reading again, Christ says to the people who are following him, he says, "Labor not for the meat which perishes is, but for the meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for on him hath God set his seal. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we might see and believe thee? What work do you do? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. They said unto him, Lord, forevermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Brothers and sisters, as Orthodox Christians, we choose to believe in the Lord's words. We choose the sacrament, the heavenly meal of Christ, to stand on that to which we are invited today, and on Christmas Day, we're invited also. We choose this sacramental connection in church instead of our own cleverness, instead of hearing clever sermons, instead of our whatever vague feelings of our heart we might think we have, to hold on to God right here in his holy church is a sure foundation, is a tried and true way to be connected, to be united to Jesus Christ. The elder Ephraim said, with fear and reverence, with fear and reverence may you stand in church, for our Christ is present invisibly with the holy angels. The attentive and reverent he fills to the full with grace and blessing. The heedless he censures as unworthy. The elder says, try to receive communion as often as possible. You have the freedom, for divine communion is the best help for one struggling against sin. May you approach the divine mystery with much compunction, contrition, and consciousness of your sins. Great is the mercy of God, who condescends to enter within you, not abhorring the multitudes of your sins, but from a boundless love and affection, he comes to sanctify you, counting you worthy to be his child and co-heir of his kingdom. Finally, as we sang from the Acathist of Thanksgiving, Glory to God for all things on Wednesday night, Glory to thee who has raised up thy church as a refuge of peace for an exhausted world. Glory to thee for the cup of life, for the bread of eternal joy. Glory to thee who has led us to heaven. Glory to thee, O God, unto ages of ages. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.